We pray. Amen.
What's up? Good to see you guys. Looking good, most of you. You know who you are. All right. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Galatians. Galatians. If you are new with us, we are in a series through the book of Galatians. We are nearing the end. 3 weeks left in this series. And I don't know if you've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it. It's been really good. And just to bring you up to speed, in case you are new and are not sure what this book and series is about, Galatians is a letter that Paul is writing to a group of churches in an area called Galatia. Today on the map, it would be Turkey, and it's these churches that he started. And the people in these churches have surrendered their life to the lordship of Jesus Christ, have called upon Jesus, and have given their life to Jesus. But what has happened is there was a group of people that would now, Paul has left and he's gone on to start some other churches. Now there's a group of people, and the Bible calls them Judaizers. And what they would do is they would come into these churches and they would say to the people, yeah, Jesus is good, but you also need this. And specifically what they would do is say, you need to follow the Jewish religion, Jewish customs, specifically circumcision. And they were putting on them burdens of work-based theology, where Paul's saying, whoa, Jesus is enough. It's all about what Jesus has done. And you put your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. You don't add to that finished work. The work is finished. Tetelestai means it is finished. And so they were adding on to saying, no, to really be saved, you must do religion and follow works to be saved. And so it reminds me back in 2004, there was the Olympics, and there was a guy by the name of Matt Edmonds, E-M-M-O-N-S. Anybody remember Matt Edmonds? Oh, I know. Oh, you did, because you were here in the first service. cheater. Matt Edmonds, he was in this competition. It was a rifle competition. It was 50 meters where you stand and shoot, kneel and shoot, and lay down and shoot prone. And so he was in this competition, and it was going into the final leg or whatever, final participation of it, and he was way ahead of everybody else. Really, all he had to do was shoot and just hit the target. He didn't even need to hit bullseye. He just had to hit the target, and he was sure of a gold medal. And so he gets up, and he aims, and he hits bullseye. And there's no cheering. There's no celebration. In fact, there was like, oh. As what has happened is Matt took aim, and he shot, and he hit the target in the lane beside him. He didn't hit his target. He was shot and hit the bullseye, but it was the wrong target. And so he went from first place to eighth place and didn't medal at all. And so that is works-based religion right there. It's you're aiming and you're going at it and you're shooting at it and you think you're hitting the target, but you're nowhere near. You're in the wrong lane. It's all about what you bring to the table. It's not about what Christ has done. And so when you rely upon works-based religion, you're aiming at the wrong target. And the gospel is, and this is what Paul is trying to get in the book of Galatians, the gospel is that Jesus came and lived the life that we could not live. That the Bible says that we are all sinners, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that it is only through Jesus that we can be made right before God. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus and Jesus alone. And I shared this with our worship team this morning in a devotional, that in Genesis chapter 3 is the account of when sin entered the world. God had made Adam and Eve, and was walking with them and in relationship with them, but they disobeyed and sin entered into this world. And when sin entered the world, they were cut off from the tree of life. The Bible says that God put an angel in the way into the garden. But then you jump ahead to John 14. In John 14, Jesus is having this dinner with his disciples. It's considered the Last Supper. And he says, I'm going to the Father to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again to take you to be with me. And you know the way. And Thomas is like, question, we don't know the way. How do we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the way was cut off because of sin. When Jesus took the sin upon himself, he now becomes the way. And we put our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. And this is the gospel. It's not what I bring. The only thing you bring to the table is your dirty rags. You're what you call your righteous acts. Jesus looks at him and goes, that's your sin. I'll take it and I'll give you my righteousness. And we got to put our faith in Jesus alone. And so what Paul's saying here in Galatians, there's a theme throughout the book of Galatians, and it's the theme of freedom. Freedom. And that we are free in Christ. Now, what happens is, because we're human beings, we tend to go into this freedom of a relationship with God, but then we screw it up. We fall into one to two camps. We either fall into the camp of religion, or what I would say, legalism. So yeah, I'm free in Christ, but then all of a sudden we start putting these rules, right? Like, all you gotta, you know, back in the day, my mom couldn't go to a bowling alley. What's up with that, man? I mean, bowling makes you sin, boo. You know, bowling leagues, babe, but not bowling. So you go, you know, don't smoke, drink, or chew, or date girls that do. You know, so you got this legalism of follow these rules in order to be right with God, and so you're no longer free. You're under bondage again. Right? And so that's one camp that we tend to fall into. The other camp we fall into is rebellion. I'll just do whatever I want. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. And I lean towards rebellion, right? I mean, even Pastor Ethan came up and said, hey, let's bow our head and close your eyes. Well, I'm not going to do it now, you know. You told me I got to do it, so I'm not going to do it, you know? And so you just got this spirit of rebellion of I'm not going to do these things. And fine, you're free. Just don't say Jesus is the Lord of my life. Because if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you come under him. He's God. He is the Lord of your life. And a lot of people do this with when it comes to like your finances, your money. He says, when we talk about giving God your first and best, to the Lord, it's like, well, I don't have to. It's my money. I don't have to do anything. Yeah, you don't have to do anything. Just don't say Jesus is your Lord of your life. I mean, he's either Lord or he isn't. And so are you walking in under him as he's the king of your life? And so in freedom, let us not fall into the camp of legalism, and let's not fall into camp of rebellion, right? Because these are what this does is give way to the flesh in our lives. And Paul talks about this. So Galatians 5, Pastor Ethan talked a little bit about these verses last week, but I'm going to highlight them again. Verse 13, look at it. It says this. For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Let's stop there. Don't use your freedom for the opportunity of the flesh. What's the flesh? Either going down towards legalism or going down towards rebellion. Don't give opportunity to that. But through love, what? Serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. So if you're given opportunity to see the flesh, so we're going to be talking a lot about this today, flesh versus spirit. If we're given opportunity towards the flesh and what happens is then we begin to turn on one another. We begin to bite and devour one another. I know this is, he's talking to a Galatian church. This never happens in churches today where you fight and argue with one another, right? Wrong, right? You go to church today and people, man, you are a great brother in Christ. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You're wonderful. Oh, wait a minute. You're a Calvinist? Oh. I guess we're not predestined to be friends. You know, we're just, or you believe in this, you believe in that. And so we get divided over worship style. We get divided over kids programs. We get divided over youth programs. We get divided over the Sisterhood of Traveling Pants tea programs, you know. We can allow little things to divide us. And Paul says, man, the greatest thing, we got to love one another. Love one another. Well, where does Paul get that? Love one another. He gets it from Jesus. Jesus says this in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. There's this teacher that comes to Jesus and wants to justify, and he says, all right, there's like over 600 commands, Jesus. What one's the most important? Just narrow down to one. And it says this, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. What? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So this guy comes, says, all right, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, all right, love God with all your heart, mind, soul. That's the first and foremost commandment. And the second is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because, listen, when we truly love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, naturally, out of that, we should love one another. If you're really putting Christ first, if you're really putting Jesus first in your life, if he's really the Lord of your life, then you're going to love one another. You're going to respond to one another. You don't really, in essence, need a law to love somebody if you're really loving God. Because I like the way the pastor J.D. Greer says it this way. He says, imagine if I come up here today and I just threw up all over the stage. Threw up all over the stage. Congratulations. You get to smell that. So, yeah, I mean, everything that I ate last night, I had like this taco bowl. So you got hamburger, you got cheese, tomato, lettuce. I mean, it's just like some rice in there. Oh. You know, you just look at this throw up, you know, like, oh, that's just gross. I don't need a law. Hey, we got a new law at New Life Fellowship. Don't eat this throw up. Right? I don't need that kind of a law to say don't eat throw up. Now, if it's like bring your dog to church one day, you know, your dogs are going to go up there, ooh, winner, winner, chicken dinner, you know, taco dinner in this case. But we don't need laws for common sense stuff. And when you are loving God, if you're truly putting God at the heart of your hearts, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, man, I'm just about Jesus. Then naturally, you would think, naturally, I'm going to love people. But it doesn't always happen that way, right? Why don't we then? Why do we fight and argue with one another? Why do we get upset with one another? Not just even loving one another, but why do we still struggle with sin if I'm loving God with everything? If Jesus has truly saved me and I am justified, that he's the way, the truth, and life, then why do I still struggle with areas in my life? Why do I still struggle with anger? Why do I look at porn? Why do I have unforgiveness? Why do I do all these things that all of us, everybody in this room struggles with? Why do we do those things if I'm really, truly trying to love God with everything in my life? It's what Paul writes in Romans 7. Romans 7, Paul writes this in the New Living Translation. Look at it. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Can anybody relate to that? I think all of us can, right? Like, I want to do what is right, but I'm not doing it. And I don't want to do this over here, but I keep going back to it. And so this sinful nature within us, this flesh, I said flesh and spirit, this flesh nature, this sinful nature that is at war within my spirit, that's war within me, that is fighting against me, and God is calling me to live a life by the Spirit, but the sinful nature is pulling me away from that, and I'm doing the things that I don't want to do. I have this unforgiveness in my heart. I have this pain in my anger, all these things. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. But yet, this thing pulls me into it. Why is that? Brothers and sisters, we need to realize this. Listen, we are at war within our souls, within our very beings, is a battle. It's a battle within us. The Bible says this of the devil, that he is a thief and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. And so many times we are treating the enemy, we're treating the devil as a little kitty cat. He's not a little kitty cat. He wants to destroy you. He doesn't want you just to sin. Listen, he doesn't just want you to look at pornography. What he wants is that to take you away from an eternity with God. He wants to destroy your life, your very soul, and we're treating it like nothing. Like it's something, oh, it's no big deal. It is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
And so we see in 1 Peter that it describes the devil as a lion roaring to devour you. He's going to devour you, and don't treat the devil, don't treat sin, don't treat little things like, oh, it's just not, don't treat him that way. You need to destroy it. And we're going to talk about that, how to do that. And so the writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that clings to us so closely, and let us run the endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The writer says this, put aside, lay sin that easily entangles you, that traps you, lay it aside. Put it to death. Don't have it in your life. And so, how do we overcome this? Galatians 5:16, Paul writes this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, so walking by the Spirit. Walking is a big deal. Walking with the Spirit. So going back to Genesis, before sin entered into the garden, what did Adam and Eve do with God? They walked with God, right? For those who are new to Bible study, it says they walked and talked with God. They walked and talked with God. But when sin entered the world, they were separated from that relationship. So Bev and I, we go on daily walks with our dogs. In fact, in our home, you cannot say walk out loud. How many have dogs that when you say walk out loud, they run to their leashes and they're like, they go crazy. And so we started saying, you want to go on a walk? Guess what? They've learned that too. They just know. There's something about that. Sure, they eat vomit, but they know how to spell. It's crazy. It's a weird thing. And so what we do is our dogs walk us, is what's really happening. And we walk. I don't know where we're going. I mean, she's just walking. I'm like, all right, well, you know. And what Bev and I do is we talk while we walk. You know, like, what's going on? How was your day? What's going on? How's that assistant principal? Is that person insane or what? You know, she works at Thomas Edison. You look up who's the assistant principal there. And I'm just kidding. It's Christina. That's why I say it. I'm just kidding. No, we just walk and we talk and we just, we're talking about life. We're talking about our kids. We're talking about dreams we have, plans we have. We talk about you. We talk about this church. We talk about, we're just walking and talking, walking and talking. You know what I don't do? I don't just say, do this for me, and I do my list. And she doesn't do that for me because we're in a relationship. And so what Paul is saying is walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Just walk with the Lord. Every day as you go about your day, as you get up and you, man, Jesus, I just want to walk with you today. As I go to work, I'm going to have a meeting with so-and-so. Give me wisdom with that. Give me patience with them. Give me understanding there. As I have encounters today, Lord, just let your peace, patience, and goodness flow in me. I just want to honor you in my words. I want to honor you in my actions. When I get home today, if you're coming home and you know you got a bunch of grade school kids in your house, Lord, help me not to kill them today. It's just like, give me grace here. And just walk with God. Let's not overcomplicate this. And just have a heart and attitude of walking by the Spirit. It goes back, I just want to love the Lord God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm just going to focus in on Him. And then as I focus on Him, these things, this weight, the sin that so easily entraps me becomes less and less dominant in my life. I focus on the Spirit, not on the flesh. And so so there's these two things. There's this battle between the flesh, and there's a battle between the Spirit. And it's a war that's going on in us. There's an old Native American proverb. It's called the Two Wolves Proverb. It goes like this. An old Cherokee Indian chief was sitting... was teaching his grandson about life. He said, a fight is going on inside me. He told the young boy, a fight between two wolves. The dark one is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He continued, the light wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, grandson, and inside of every person, every other person on the face of the earth. The grandson ponders this for a moment and then asks, Grandfather, which wolf will win? The old Cherokee smiled and simply said, the one you feed. And it's so true. What are you feeding? Are you feeding the desires of the flesh or the desires of the Spirit? What are you feeding? What we feed wins. And Paul describes this in verses 17 through 21. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So he's describing a war, right? The flesh and the Spirit are at war. They're opposing one another. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he goes on to write, okay, here's what are indicators of if you're feeding your flesh. These are the indicators. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he gives this list, right? All these different things are indicators of a life that is drawn towards the flesh. Now, you may look at this and says, well, I'm so glad I'm not struggling with sorcery or orgies. I said that in the first service, and somebody came up to me and said, yeah, that's the second service that struggles with those. So I'm just saying, So we may not be struggling with sorcery or orgies, but have an anger issue? Yeah. You ever been envy? You ever jealous, strife? I mean, It's not about, man, I hit everyone on that. No, it's the list is not the important. The list is just a result of your life. You're feeding the flesh. You're feeding those desires of the flesh, and these things will then will be produced in you, be evident in your life. And you struggle with them. And listen. It's not just the simple, blatant, sinful things that can lead us down this path. There are a lot of things that can lead us down the path of the flesh that are not necessarily in itself that we would categorize as sinful, but they open the door for us to be busy or not really focusing on kingdom-minded things. And so this could be like just scrolling on your phone. I mean, I deleted TikTok on my phone. Not because TikTok's bad. Don't go away from here saying, man, Pastor Dane says TikTok's from the devil. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm scrolling on and I look and, you know, the iPhone tells you like how many minutes and hours, days, years you spend on something. And I looked at that. I'm like, holy cow. What am I doing? This is not helping anything. So need to put to death things that will pull me away from God. Even if it's something as simple as TikTok, I'm going to put that to death. I'm not going to even give the devil a foothold because that devil is a lion wanting to kill me. Yeah. And so I'm going to put that to death by just, I'm just going to simply delete an app. Yeah. You say, well, that's it? Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Get accountability. If you're struggling with pornography, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand, but if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling in that area, why are you on the phone that gives opportunities for pornography to show up? That's just you being an idiot. Put to death those things. Put to death those things that will draw you away, that gives an opportunity for the flesh to... What you're basically saying is, man, that's a nice-looking steak for my flesh. I'm not going to touch it, but it's always there. Like, dude... Put to death the things that feed the desires of the flesh. Put them to death in your life. Because what will happen is these things that you did, man, no one gets up you know, at 8 years old and say, what do you want to be one day? Well, I hope I'm addicted to meth. You know, that's what I want to grow up to be. No one does that. It's just that you've given your opportunities and little things after little things after little things, and you're like, how in the world did I get here? It's because you gave the desires of the flesh. And Paul says this. He says, if you continue down this path, guess what? You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's serious. Don't play around with sin. Don't say it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Don't give away to that. Say, no, man, this is pulling me away from God. I don't want to be pulled away from God. I want to be in a relationship with him. And so put to death the things that feed the flesh. And then it says that the spirit, now the works of the spirit is found in this, in verse 22 through 24. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, listen, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So walking in the Spirit, I'm going to, by walking in the Spirit, am crucifying the things of those flesh. And when I walk in the Spirit, this fruit begins to be evident in my life. Listen, you cannot produce this fruit on your own. You cannot just say, I'm patient. I'm the most patient person ever. And then go to the DMV and let it see, you know. All right? It's only through being connected to the vine that these fruits become evident in our lives. We read this in John. Jesus said it's this in John 15. Verse 4 and 5, abide. Abide means remain, connected. You're abiding with Jesus. abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. You cannot bear this by yourself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to go to the things that stirs my affections to Jesus. That's what it is. What stirs those affections to Jesus? I mean, you guys are doing it today. You come to church today. We're singing these songs. You're worshiping. We're going to sing this song in a minute called Great I Am. Man, if you don't respond, there's more coffee in the kitchen. I don't know how you cannot respond to that song. It's awesome. But the Great I Am, these things that stir my desire, stir my affections towards Jesus. But if you were relying on just Sunday morning to feed your flesh, you're going to starve. 1 hour a week, that's all you're giving to a guy against a devil that wants to kill you? Oh, I came to church. Dude, you're in a war. Get in the Word of God. Be in prayer. Put things around you that stir your affections to Jesus. Walk with the Spirit. Man, I just want to walk with God. If this thing, if I'm watching this show on Netflix, is pulling my desire away from God, then I'm not going to watch it. I want to put things in my life, have things in my life that draw me into a relationship with God, that draw me nearer and nearer. Listen, I'm not talking about earning salvation here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just walking by the Spirit, walking with Jesus Christ. I'm going to put to death the things that pull me away from that. Why would I want anybody to pull me away from the greatest thing that's ever happened to me? So I'm going to put that to death, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit by just drawing, and I'm going to put things around me, worship and prayer and God's word, people. Man, I'm just going to put those things because they stir my affections to Jesus. So this war, this battle between flesh and the Spirit, what are you feeding, man? What are you allowing in your heart? What's drawing you? What I love about what Paul says next in Romans, when we talked about, he say, man, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. And he says, what a wretched man I am, is what he says. What a wretched man I am. We're all like, dude, I'm right there. And he says, but thanks be to God. And Romans 8:1, one of the greatest verses in all the Bible, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, you may be struggling. The Holy Spirit will convict, but we're in Christ, so we're not condemned. Okay? There's a difference. And so if today, if you feel that conviction, that's good. That's good. Respond to that conviction and say, I'm glad I'm not condemned. I'm being convicted. And I want to draw close to God. And so we're going to have the team come back up right now, and we're going to sing the song Great I Am. And what I would love for us to do as a body of Christ, as a church, say, Lord, there are things in my life. I think everyone in this room can say, there's something in my life that is not in tune with you. Everyone in this room. You say, well, I don't know, not me. Well, you just got pride. Well, there you go. Now you got one. All of us in this room struggle with some kind of sin, every one of us. And just say, we're going to pray. We're going to say, Lord, I want this to be put to death. Will you kill it? Will you kill this desire? Will you kill this thing that I've been struggling with? This thing that I keep going back to? This thing that's pulling me away from you? I don't want that. I don't want that. So just say, Lord, take it away from me. And then say, God, in your love, in your grace, in your mercy, draw me to you. Because right now, some of us are in this place. I just don't feel God. I don't feel his presence, and I want to feel it. And so maybe say that, Lord, I just want to just want to be back in your presence. I want to feel that love again. I want to feel your joy again. I want to feel your peace again. And just, Lord, I love you. Listen, this is a battle. We need to really take it seriously. Say, Lord, kill the sin and produce fruit. Produce fruit in my life. And so we're going to pray. Again, response. We have an altar. There's no shame in coming to the altar. It's actually really kind of cool. Coming to the altar and just pray, Lord, I'm here at the altar. If that's not your gig, that's fine. Do it right where you're at, man. Lord, I just kill this thing. Name it. Lord, I struggle with this. Kill it. Kill that desire. And birth within me the fruits of the Spirit by me remaining close to you. So would you stand with me and let's pray and then let's respond. Father, we thank you for grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. May we in this room today not feel condemnation, but may we feel conviction. And may we respond to that conviction by calling on the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.